Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What have you been up to this past year?
I've been at home, like everybody. With my beloved family. I can't remember what last time I was on your podcast. I think it was also pandemic. And I think my answer was probably the same. Like, I'm at home and my son is back to school. So that is a huge relief. But my husband and I are still at home all day, every day.
Yeah, I think we were chatting about your method of giving your son unlimited amount of money to get books at night. And he was just like buying books every night. He was reading up a storm. So, which was awesome.
Well, I bought him a Kobo and he was empowered to purchase things that he couldn't get at the library. But you got me in the peak of that. So he's back to school. So life is a bit more normal for
him. So that's good. So tell us about you've been writing. So talk to us about Duke actually first. Like, what is the elevator pitch? Why should we read this? Homework with steam,
Homework with steam. Somebody, and it wasn't me, and I can't remember who it was. I wish that I could so that I could credit them, but somebody called this series Hallmark, but produced by HBO. And I thought that was a pretty good descriptor. So the basic idea of Duke actually is that it's the best friends of a couple that is getting married. So this is sort of a classic romance trope. And there are the attendants in the wedding. Except this wedding happens to be a royal one that emerges as a result of book one, although I should mention that the books are standalone. So anyway, it's about a sort of playboy aristocrat who is kind of a tabloid bad boy and a normal person, a professor of English from New York, who are thrown together because they're in this royal wedding. And he, as I mentioned, is a bit of a playboy. She's in the middle of a nasty divorce and has declared herself done with men. Mm-hmm. You can imagine how that goes. So they are kind of like, they fall into friendship first, and they're sort of unlikely allies, even though they don't have anything in common. They hit it off immediately and hang out basically for a year before the wedding.
Mm. And how much fun do you have like writing Christmas, probably in the non-Christmas time? Like, are you a Christmas fan enough that it's like helps you kind of like get in the mood or,
I am a Christmas fan for sure. And I probably told you this at some point in the past, but the idea for this series came as a result of watching Hallmark Christmas movies with my dad, who's a big fan of the genre. And he would always... he would watch, but he's sort of like the most gullible person in the world. So he, he'd watch and he'd say, oh my gosh, how is this ever going to work out? Like, he just could never see his way through to a happy ending, even though he knew it was coming. And he'd be shocked by, certain plot twists. And I would just kind of laugh at him. And I could always predict how it was going to happen, which is not me criticizing the genre. It's just, there's a certain kind of formula. And I kind of idly thought, well, I wonder if I could write one of these. And so I did. But as mentioned, it's a bit steamier. It's a lot steamier than Hallmark. So that was the origin of it. So that's a long way of answering your question. Yes, I do love Christmas. It is a bit odd to be writing Christmas books at a non-Christmas time of the year. Mm-hmm. But these books, just the way that the schedule worked out, they were always due October, November. So it was kind of nice because the end of the book would kind of be the runway into actual Christmas.
Ooh.
So that worked out. Like by the time I was so sick of the book that I was just desperate to get it done and turn it in, I could like turn the Christmas carols on and try to like hype myself to the end.
There you can actually put some RA and she'll get you through Christmas time.
And then I would turn the book in. I just turned in the last one. I turned the book in and be like, ah, now it's like, Christmas for real without having to, you know, produce somebody else's Christmas.
Awesome. So tell us about the third one. What can we expect? I know you talked about, you gave us a hint of who's going to be in the third one, but, you know, now that you've done it in.
Yes. The third one is, the hero is Mr. Benz, who is the equerry to the king. Now, he appears a little bit in book two, Duke, actually, but he appears heavily in book one. So we're kind of revisiting a major secondary character from book one. So he's like the starchy advisor to the king, who's very much values tradition and sort of the pomp and circumstance, or pomp and like ceremony of the royal family. And the American management consultant who's hired to come in and overhaul sort of the national company in which the royal family owns a stake. So she's all about like productivity and efficiency and all that stuff. And he's got to kind of babysit her and make her welcome, when in fact she is, according to him, not welcome at all.
So you have a clash of the titans, you know, trying to get them, and you know what's going to happen. They're going to get together. So
yeah, and they kind of, you know, they're forced to sort of work together because they I don't want to give too much away, but they uncover some stuff that is kind of in their interest to join forces on. And
awesome.
And this is probably of the three, this next one, we're talking about the last one now still, is the most Christmassy. It's like sort of the most over the top hay rides and cocoa, and you know, it takes place entirely in the fictional Alpine country. So it's a lot more, it's got like a heavier dose of Christmas in that one.
I love the country. I love a princess for Christmas. And that country, I was like, I just want to be there, you know, hang out there.
Yep.
So it's just like my own version of Genovia, you know, just like in the little, like cute little country. So, So let's chat about Canadian Boyfriend, which I saw the announcement.
Oh, yeah. Coming.
So tell us a little about it, you know, and what can we expect for that series?
That is not going to be a series. It's just a standalone novel.
Oh my gosh.
Like a true standalone.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yep. And it is about a woman who, but like, so before the book starts, like in the backstory of the book, she as a teenager has a very brief encounter with a boy from Canada who's visiting to play a hockey game. She's a barista and he orders coffee, and they have kind of a memorable encounter. That's not code. Like nothing happens. They just, there's a sort of a spark between them. And she is a ballerina who is under a lot of pressure from her family and because of her profession, and isn't having the easiest time of it socially. So she kind of spins this encounter with this real boy into a fictional boyfriend from Canada who gets her out of, is an excuse for why she can't go to the prom and like why she's sort of socially aloof when really she's just awkward. So that then at the beginning of the book, she, you know, as only happens in romance novels, she happens to meet the real guy again as an adult, who has just recently lost his wife and has a young daughter, and shows up in her dance class, the daughter. So she suddenly is confronted with like her pretend boyfriend made flesh, and things get complicated, as you might imagine.
Oh, this sounds so good. I'm so excited. It's a standalone. That sounds exciting, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's chat some book recommendations or some books that sparked joy in the past couple of years, you know.
So when you asked me books, like the book that probably sparked the most joy, and I feel like this is not going to be that original of an answer, but I was late to this book, is Second First Impressions by Sally Thorne. Now, I feel like this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I loved that book. I loved all her books, but I loved that the best of all her books. I just adored it. It was so, I don't even know the words for it. It was so sweet, but not in a cloying way, and just like humane and funny. I just loved it. So if you don't know it, it's basically about two young people that are living in an old folks home. One of them because she manages it, and the other one because he's the son of the CEO of this like big corporation that's bought it. And he's kind of a ne'er-do-well who's just hanging out for a while. I just love that. That book was my sort of book of the year, although I don't know if it came out in 2021 or how late I was to it. But anyway, that one for sure is my, is definitely sparking joy. As far as recommendations, so I was thinking about Christmas books. So I have two Christmas books and one not Christmas book. Mm-hmm. First is, it's a romance from quite a few years ago now called A Christmas Gone Perfectly Wrong. Do you know it? By Cecilia Grant, who I don't think is writing anymore. She didn't write that many books, but she wrote this beautiful little, it's not a novella, but it's not a very long novel, called A Christmas Gone Perfectly Wrong, that is just, it's when I tell you what it's about, it's not going to sound like much. It's about a man, it's a Regency, or maybe they're Victorian, I don't know. But it's about a man trying to get back for Christmas, and he ends up having to take the daughter of, I forget if they're friends or whatever, he's supposed to drop her off at a house party on the way to go see his siblings, and they get snowed in. But it's just a beautiful, like almost painfully beautiful book. It's so well done. Like each sentence just sort of gives you shivers. Highly recommend that for Christmas. Okay, the other one, don't laugh at me, is, do you know The Gift of the Magi, O. Henry, like the actual book?
Yes. Yeah.
So I feel like that story, you know, where one person buys the other person a present, mm-hmm. and then the other person sells the thing that works out for to buy a present for the other person, sort of the missed gifts. The actual original book, which I read every couple of years, again, very short, you can read it in, like on Christmas Eve, is lovely. It's just lovely. Mm. So that's a bit of an oddball one. And my last recommendation for you is, again, maybe going to sound kind of odd, but do you know Jan Arden? You probably don't. She's like Canada's sweetheart. She's a singer, comedian, actor, producer, writer. Americans mostly know her because she had a big hit called Insensitive in the maybe early 2000s, mm-hmm. maybe even late 90s. You probably recognize that song if you listen to it, if you heard it. But anyway, she is just sort of a Renaissance woman, but she's very funny and very wise. And she has a new memoir out called If I Knew Then. And it's about aging and being a woman, basically. And it's just funny and sharp and kind of gives you shivers, and it sort of reframes the idea of what it means to age, mm-hmm. and what she calls the crone years, cronehood. And I listened to it on audio, and she's a great performer, so highly recommend that, particularly on audio. So that was a really long answer, yeah. But those are the books that I'm rattling around in my head right now.
I love these books, actually. And I just thought, like, my first impression was just like a balm of soothing joy. Like, book was just like, it was just like so good. It was like quirky. It was different. It was not expected. Love the turtles. Like the whole storyline of living, like the couple of old ladies who had these young men who objectify. It was just like, that's what I want to do when I grow up. You know, when I have to retire.
There's a twist with the old ladies that I don't want to give away, but oh, so good.
It was.
And I mean, it's also perfectly crafted in the, like, the office sort of secretary manager sidekick character who's got the dating plan for them. Oh my God, it was so good.
It was so good. And then bustling. Like, there was like a whole storyline. Like, it was just like, so good. So yeah, if people have not picked it up, they should pick it up. So, and then pick up a couple Christmas books, and then, you know, a nice little memoir in audio, which is perfect. So awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
My website is jennyholiday.com. I am I haven't been very good with social media in the last, I'd say, a few months. I've just been like overwhelmed by life and deadlines. But in theory, you can find me on Twitter at Jenny Holly, JennyHolli. And on Instagram at Holy Moly Jenny Holly, because the handle was gone. And I actually am pretty active, and I have a Facebook reader group with a couple of friends, and that's called Northern Heat. Mm-hmm. We're Canadian rom-com authors. It's joint with Farah Heron and Jackie Lau. And that's pretty much it.
I love this. Thank you, Jenny, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for LibreFM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.